So this week, our verses we focused on were John 20, 19 through 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
So for this portion of the service, we're going to share with you some of the different things that we experienced this week, and the kids are going to take turns doing that. I'm going to sort of start out by giving you sort of the view from 10,000 feet, kind of an overview of what happened and what we did, and then they're going to fill in the details for us. So first of all, I want to say that it was a good week. It was a pleasure to spend the week with these kids. And for those of you who had children that attended, for the girls, the parents of the girls, it was a pleasure to be with your girls this week and get to know them a little better. For the boys, no, same thing. Same thing. A great group of kids. We had a good time together. They traveled well. They were respectful of the adults, but we also were able to have a good time together. And they were, you know, as respectful of each other as you might expect high school kids to be. You may hear some phrases that are unfamiliar to you this morning, and hopefully they will do a good job of explaining what those phrases are. Things like blue squad, scooters on the plaza, other things that sort of happen that draw us together during the week, and these phrases get thrown around. So please, kids, if you're talking with other folks, make sure they understand the context of what you're talking about. A typical day for us started out with this squad time. So we were in the blue squad, and that was a group of probably 10 or 15 different youth groups that met together in the morning, and there were half a dozen of these different groups that would meet together, and that was just sort of a way to get to know some other students that were there, and some, you know, icebreaker games and just ways for us to get excited about convention. There was a workshop then after that, and then we would come together for a combined worship with the adults. So instead of having separate youth and adult worship services this time, they combined those together, which brought a real energy and diversity to that time. We had lunch at the convention center, and then in the afternoon, there were workshop times available again for people to attend. There was a display area set up with booths from different colleges, church agencies, and organizations that you could go and learn more about what they did, or grab a t-shirt or a pen or something like that. We did supper on our own at various restaurants in town. And then there was an evening worship session again later in the evening. There were evening activities after that. Colleges hosted alumni gatherings. There was live music, improv comedy, a hymn sing, and a Mennonite concerto. That time also, before we turned in for the night, was a time for some group bonding activities, which involved ice cream at least twice, and the scooter activity that you'll probably hear about. The worship times, I'm just gonna run down some of the list of speakers that we had during the worship time without really talking much about what they talked about, but just to give you an idea of kind of the breadth and diversity of speakers that we got to listen to. Glenn Guyton kicked off the first night. He's the executive director of Mennonite Church USA. Took that position within the last year. Dustin Galleon is the men's basketball coach at Heston. You'll be hearing more about his talk. Sue Parker is the denominational minister for Mennonite Church USA. So she's the Dick Barrett of MCUSA. Abby King, John Murray, and Marissa Smooker all spoke in one worship session where they each told a story. It was about storytelling. Abby King is a Goshen College senior. John Murray works at Heston College, and Marissa Smucker works for Mennonite Mission Network. She's an AMBS student, and she also is the niece, I understand, of Jan Smucker from this community. On Friday, we heard from Megan Larissa Good, who's a teaching pastor at Trinity Mennonite Church in Glendale, Arizona, has recently written a book, and also spoke at ACA 2 years ago. And finally, Friday evening, we heard from Leonard Dow, who is a stewardship development specialist for Everence and a former pastor, and he got excited when he talked. He got after it. So, workshops are varied. There were a lot of opportunities for different topics. Won't tell you about all of them. Some of them I attended included Anabaptist and Adaptive Leadership. There was a Israel-Palestine 101, which I found very interesting because that can be a confusing situation to understand. Inside Voices Together, which was about the hymnal project that's coming out. Who is under your carbon footprint? Talking a little bit about use of global resources. The speaker in there was a woman from South Africa, South Central Africa. And she too was very engaging and knew how to keep us involved in her talk. And I went to one about Russian Mennonites, which I found interesting. I'm very poor at my geography and history of Eastern Europe, and that was interesting to learn about. So we had 1 day of free time. We had 1 day of a service project, and you're going to hear more about those things as well. So we'll move along.
So I'm talking about the atmosphere of the worship sessions, and like you could just tell that God was there because every single day before they opened the doors, everyone was waiting there, and then once they opened the doors, everyone would run to get front seats, and when the band came out, a bunch of the youth would run up to the front, like right in front of the stage, and start singing and dancing, and that's it. And also, scooters on the plaza. So, there was these scooters around town that you could rent and like ride around, and one day we rent a couple of them and just rode them around the plaza, which was in the middle of the convention center and the hotels.
I went to a seminar this week called Finding God in the Midst of a Busy World. We talked about listening to God through music and focusing on a word or phrase that spoke to us. One phrase that stuck out to me was, "If all of you means less of me, take everything." I learned to listen to the other 3,000 people in the room during worship. I've never been so excited to praise God with other Christians. From singing hymns in four-part harmony to screaming praise songs, I felt the Holy Spirit in me and with all of us. We sang songs in English, Spanish, Korean, and Swahili. I looked forward to worship every day, and I never wanted to leave. Whether we were singing softly with our arms around each other or dancing and screaming at the top of our lungs, our main goal was to worship our amazing God.
Hi, in case you don't know who I am, my name is Ethan Larson. Some may know me as the tender heart guy from last year's trip to Kentucky. I want to start off by thanking Sam and Gertie for praying for me and everyone else that was praying the trip go well. I want to talk about a speaker that I really enjoyed during one of the worship services. His name is Dustin Gallion, and he is a men's basketball coach at Heston College. His message was about fear, about how fear fears community, convention, and hope. It was also about how fear wants you isolated so that you will sin. The devil tries to put fear in people because fear often leads to sin. This message spoke to me because I'll admit that I sometimes fear what other people think about me, and that could lead me to doing things that don't really show who I am. I saw God this week basically everywhere, but in the worship services where I saw him the most. You could see all the speakers were very passionate, and you could see how God was using them to move other people around them and to touch their hearts. Also, he used the band and their talents to show his love and how wonderful our God really is. Again, thank you all for your support and prayers.
Hi, I'm Peter Kratz, and I'm going to be discussing squad time along with Hayden. So the first night that we arrived there, they like split each church or youth group into a squad. We were all in blue squad, but there were also like white squad, red squad, orange squad, and green squad. And then so there were two squad times each day. One in the morning with just your color of squad, so we would meet up with blue squad and work on like cheers and stuff. And then the second squad time was like later in the day with all the squads together, and that's when things really got crazy, I guess, and people started losing voices, and that's like when that's really when the energy levels, they would like really go crazy and stuff. And like the first day, everything was kind of started off slow, and people were like, I don't know if I want to cheer or not. And like pretty much only one squad, the red squad, was the only one that was actually like going crazy and everything. But then by the second day, everyone was just going crazy and yelling. And at the end of each squad time, and for the afternoon at least, the pastor from the morning worship service would come up, and then people would ask him questions, and he would answer them in front of all of us. And so we got to learn God a little bit better at the end of each squad time, and it was just a great time to get to learn new people and get to meet people and have a good time and learn more about God. So, yeah, squad time was a good time.
I am going to also talk about minnow squads. During minnow squads, we first met at the beginning of the day, as Peter said, and we had different icebreakers that we would do. The first day, they did a big rocks, paper, scissors challenge. We got there late, so we didn't get to do it, but we watched them as they like did everybody. You would follow the person that beat you until you got to one winner that had everybody behind them. And then you could see everyone get more comfortable with each other and willing to talk and ask questions and everything. And then there were five squads, and we had competitions between each other during the second time we all got together. We each tried to show that our squad was the best, which I think our squad was the best. And then you did things like see who could be the loudest, and then another challenge was trying to see who could throw the most beach balls into a hula hoop within 1 minute, blindfolded. And every squad had a nickname, like the Royal Squad and the Squirrel Squad for two of them. And another thing is we had our own chants, and we did them when we were all together to see who had the best chant and could be the loudest. And then I saw God during worship. It was really easy to see and feel the Holy Spirit when everyone was singing together. And the speakers, when they went up and had their sermon, where everybody was really powerful speaker, and you could see why they were chosen to speak. and everyone was excited to go to worship, and we had all different kinds of music, from the really energetic music that everybody jumped around to the slow hymns where we all wrapped our arms around each other. It was really nice to see everyone singing together and showing the love of God.
Hi, I'm Sarah Painter. So I wasn't raised Mennonite, so while many of my views are the same, there are still some differences. My church mentions peace from time to time, but it's not a key piece we talk about. So one night at worship, the speaker talked about peace, and it was really eye-opening for me because I thought pacifists were just against war, but I learned it's so much more than that. I learned that peace begins within us and then spreads to every other aspect of our lives. I also learned that extending peace to others can transform relationships. I'm so thankful I learned more about what peace really is. I also saw God everywhere this week, but mainly in the people and worship. When we all had our arms around each other while worshiping God, he was so present.
So I'm going to be talking about, or I'm Randy Nichols, and then I'm going to talk about a seminar that I went to. It was called Experiencing God Through the Dramatic Arts. So the first thing they talked about was this thing for acting. It's called the Meisner Technique, and it was OAR, so it's others first, and then being authentic to yourself, and then responding to your surroundings. So that was talking about, like, on stage, but then they kind of went into how you can use this in real life, which is what I'm going to talk about. So we had to, like, I didn't know anyone in the room, so we had to meet with this complete, like, stranger that we'd never met before, and they, like, made us answer really, like, vulnerable personal questions to them. So some of them were, like, when was the last time you cried, and what's something that you really struggle with in life? And then we, like, I was like, oh, this is kind of awkward, and I thought that was it, and they, like, were like, okay, now you're going to stand up, and you face the person, and you had to, like, they told you to just, like, look at them, and you're supposed to, like, look at how their face comes together, and you're not supposed to think about yourself, which is really hard, because they're like, oh, look at the person's chin and their forehead, and I'm just thinking, oh, I have a huge zit on my chin, and they're staring at my face, and they're, like, telling you, they're like, you're probably having self-conscious thoughts, but you're supposed to be focusing on the other person. So it was weird at first, and then you did, and then they start to tell you that you're looking at a creation of God, and this person is made in the image of God, and you're just thinking, like, how you don't see the flaws, and you're seeing this, like, beautiful creation of God in front of you, and then, like, then you start to realize, like, oh, that's, they're looking at me, and they're thinking the same thing, and I'm also a creation of God, which was just really eye-opening. And then we got to, like, hold hands with them and pray for them, and it was just, I mean, I teared up a little bit, but it was just really eye-opening, because, like, personally, I feel like I feel God the most when I'm by myself, or, like, it's silent, or I'm, like, doing art or singing or something, not usually when I'm looking at, like, a random stranger, but it was really eye-opening, and I felt God's presence, and it was just really amazing. So that was where I experienced God this week, was in my seminar.
Good morning. I'm Evan, and I would also like to share about a seminar that I went to. One I went to, it was called Anabaptist Perspectives on Violence in Scripture. Now, this is one that I had been fascinated with because I've known in my whole life that the Anabaptists are associated with peace in one way or another, but the way it plays out in our complex world just didn't always make sense to me. And one thing is that there are multiple Anabaptist perspectives, so we don't really know what things were, but one of the views that was presented was the idea that possibly the Old Testament God is not the same as the New Testament God, but then the other perspectives included that God had brought himself down to the Israelites, and this eventually led to the New Testament. I found this rather confusing, and it led to, well, I just came to realize over the week that sometimes we as people can't fully understand what God has in store for us, And once we realize that and stop trying to do that, it frees us a little bit to realize just how powerful God is. And we'll never be able to understand this, but yet God will still love us despite our limitations on this. And to know that there are many people, 3,000 of us at this convention, who are also in the same situation, loving God, despite not always knowing what the future held, that meant a lot to me. Thank you for your support this week.
Hello, my name is Mandolin. So when I was at convention this week, I got the opportunity to go to many seminars, but one of them stood out to me quite a bit, and this class was called Praying Always and Always. The lady leading this class is named Rachel Jacobs. She began talking about what prayer actually is. She started to explain that when you're praying for a long time, it's not only you talking to God, but also God speaking to us and us listening. The moment she said that, I suddenly realized that I'm not praying the way I should. Instead of listening and having that quiet time with God, I had just been talking the whole time. During the same class, she taught us four ways to pray. There was one that really caught my attention. This was a type of a body prayer that I found very helpful. First, you think of a worry that you just want to give to God, and you cup your hands, you then hold it close to your heart, offer it to God by putting your hands up and releasing it to the Lord. While we were there, we were also able to visit many college booths, and at one of them they gave us a pen with a number on it. And somebody at the convention had the same number. Once you found that person, you were given a prize. Overall, I had a great time at convention. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Becca Hager, and thank you so much for all your donations and financial support. Letting us go this week, we had a great time. Your kids are awesome. We only heard good things about them, and it was truly a pleasure to spend the week with them. A fun thing was that they all wanted to talk about things that they've learned in seminars and workshops, and I remember when I went to convention, we were always like, let us take the fun things, and let's talk about those, not the serious ones. So. But they wanted to talk about serious things, so I get to present the fun things to you this morning. So on Thursday night, it was our fun night. We didn't have any worship that night, so we went to an aquarium. If you think that our youth is pretty sarcastic or intimidating, just take them to an aquarium. They act like five-year-olds. It was hilarious and a blast. They were just running through, looking at all the tanks of fish. Anna was our resident namer of fish. I think she made a best friend in every single tank. We walked in and the first tank had an open top and I had to stop. I think two or three of them had their hands right above the water, and I was like, guys, this isn't a petting zoo, it's an aquarium. And they're like, what? But joke's on me, really, because then about halfway through, there was a petting zoo area where they got to touch starfish and crabs, and they got hugs from sea urchins. Apparently, if you stick your finger in between their tentacles, they hug you. So they enjoyed that. It also was full of like little extra games, so we all learned that we can pinch a straw as a crab, and you saw in the pictures there were like cool windows that you could look into tanks with. We went through a little faster than planned, so we ended up going to Union Station, and we found a column that said 9 3/4, which if you've read Harry Potter, that is the way to get to Hogwarts. So we enjoyed that. And there was also these amazing Legos that depicted Kansas City, as a town, and then they had a Wild West one that were incredibly detailed, and we enjoyed just looking at those. And the backsides of them were a little inaccurate, like the Wild West one had the Hulk in a mountain, and we didn't quite remember that in the history books, but whatever. Then we went to this delicious Kansas City barbecue place where we all thoroughly enjoyed, except for Ethan. He said that he could make ribs better, so we're all really looking forward to Ethan making us some ribs. And we ate, and we're so full, but it was 4th of July, so there was a big ballroom on the top of our hotel. Our hotel was 28 stories tall. And so quite a few of us went and looked and watched the fireworks up there. And some of them, like me and the girls, we laid on our beds because we were so full and watched them out our windows. But it was so cool because we were on the 20th and 21st floor. So we could just look out and the entire horizon was filled with all different shows of fireworks. And it was quite a beautiful event. Unfortunately, you can't really capture fireworks on camera, so we don't have any of those. On Friday afternoon, we did our service project. We got to go to the historical Strawberry Hill, which is a pretty tall point in the Missouri side of Kansas. I thought Kansas City would be very flat, but that area was very hilly, and so we got a great calf workout. Walking around and picking up trash around the neighborhood. A homeowner and his dog came out and greeted us, which was one of my highlights of the week because I love dogs. And then we walked to a lady's house. Her name was Lori, and she had just a whole bunch of random home improvement projects that she just wasn't up to doing. So a group of us covered just an area of grass with some kind of cover. I don't know what it, what?
Landscape cloth.
And then dumped the gravel that she had bought in it. A couple of us painted her back porch walls because I guess code in Kansas City was all your walls, outside walls have to be the same colors, and they were two different colors. And then we did, there. She had like a chain link fence that we wove this plastic stuff through, and that made it a privacy fence. So she had some privacy in her backyard. And she was very, very thankful, very kind. She kept bringing us water, even though we all had water bottles, and kept just popping out, being like, is there anything else you need? Thank you so much. And she actually came out and looked over everything and was very, very appreciative. After we were done, there was actually an air show going on. The Kansas City Blue Angels, which apparently is a fleet of airplanes, we're flying around, so we were back at our meeting place waiting for all the other groups to come back, and we got to watch that, and that was very cool. Also very hard to get on camera, but I think we've got a couple of pictures of it. Overall, we had a fantastic week, and thank you so much again for sharing your children, your money, and your time.
Let's offer a quick round of applause for all the youth and adults. It's always amazing to me being there and hearing what I perceive how they're experiencing it and hearing all the goofiness, but seeing also how God is at work and then hearing them reflect back and just so well, so articulate, but also very much knowing that God was doing a lot of things there. And I hope you have got a good picture, or at least some kind of a picture of what we experienced during this time. I echo what Becca said, that your kids are great. We really had no worries for any of them, and we're just so
so much enjoyed time with them. My role was kind of twofold. I got to be with the kids for the worship sessions and for meals and for some of the fun activities, and I also served as a delegate. Andy, who's going to be sharing after me, and I were adult delegates at the sessions. I want to kind of give, bring some encouragement to you and share just a brief bit about what that looked like. The speaker we experienced Friday night for me was probably the most spirit-filled moment. He was reflecting again on that John 20 passage that Sarah read for us earlier, and that was kind of the basis for the week of worship. And he was reflecting on this idea that Jesus appeared in the room of disciples suddenly, and this idea that God can come and do amazing things suddenly, and that oftentimes we don't expect things to happen suddenly. We have maybe a thought or expectation that our life is going to be as it is, and then maybe 5 years or 10 years from now things will get better. But for right now, we are kind of where we are at. And for myself, that was a really powerful revelation, because I am a planner and I am a realist, so I expect things to happen as they always happen, which is slowly over time. And so this reminder that the Spirit is at work and moving powerfully and quickly and sometimes can change our lives in an instant is not one I grasp all too often, but appreciated. And they also offered anointing, which was a powerful experience, so several of us went up and received that. And he offered a word for the church, and I want to share that word with you, and that word is that God is alive and at work, and that we will be okay. And for many of us coming into this convention who were delegates, and maybe for you that are following it or know anything about the Mennonite Church, it feels like things have not been okay for a while. And there may have been expectations that things weren't going to be okay. But I would like to share, at least from my perspective, that things went very well during our sessions. There was not a lot of business at hand, but what we did have happened, I thought, pretty in a way where people were able to come together. We voted to change the bylaws a little bit to allow for special youth delegates. So besides the two delegates that our church will have, we could also bring somebody 16 to 21 to sit in on the adult sessions. So youth, think about if you are in that age range in 2 years and want to come to convention and not do all the fun stuff that you just talked about, but come sit in hours of adult sessions and meetings. It's time. It's your time. But I say that jokingly, but also to say that the church is really embracing this idea that this is not just the future church. This is our church now. And so how do we involve youth in a meaningful way? We also passed a statement almost unanimously condemning the abuse of migrant children at the border. And that was a really powerful thing that people could really gather together, because one of the things about MCUSA that we probably don't realize when we're in rural Ohio, it is very diverse, and we have a pretty large Hispanic population, and we have a lot of churches, even in Ohio, that have both documented and undocumented persons that are part of their congregation and live in fear a lot and have family members that are experiencing these separations at the border. And so it was really good to have those experiences where, I sat at a table with people from all over the country. There was a representative from First Mennonite Denver. There was somebody from Delaware, the state, not the city. There was somebody from Indiana. There was somebody from Nebraska, and who had come from Canada. And so we all have different backgrounds, and yet we could, and really different beliefs. But we could find things to come together. So the Spirit of God was working very powerfully. I just want to, again, thank all the parents who sent their kids, trusted us with their kids, all the people who gave money over the last year, all of your prayers, especially our prayer partners. I think God was felt. I don't know if my wife is listening to me, because I see her in the nursery. Erin, can you hear me? Here, knock on the window. So At the beginning of the week, she's not paying attention. Well, anyways, at the beginning of the week, Sunday evening, Erin got really sick. She picked up a bug, probably from one of VBS kid. And she had planned all of this, honestly. I had very little to do with the planning for the kids. And unfortunately, she did not get to enjoy the fruits of her labor. But I really appreciated what was done, because it was very smooth for me going in as a leader, and for Becca and Alan as well. So thank you to all the leaders. Thank you to all of you. I'd now like to invite Andy Ford, and he's going to kind of wrap everything up in a nice, neat bow.
How I wish. All I can say is we were in the same place out there. It was with all the young people. Gee, I wish I could have been a part of your convention. we sat through the delegate sessions, which fortunately, thanks be to God, was a minimum of business and boring stuff like that that we did. And I went to most of the delegate sessions, but I had to go to a couple of seminars. It was set up so that if you're in a delegate, you didn't get to a lot of the seminars. But so please excuse me, but I went to a few extra seminars. But the main thing for me, which pulls this all together, was we had a Bible teacher that half of the delegate sessions really were focused on Bible study. Ephesians chapter 4, the first six verses, I'm going to just read them quickly and make a couple of comments, because it helped me have a whole new understanding of what church is to be. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. Tom Neufeld Yoder Neufeld was a Bible teacher who opened up this passage of Scripture in such a way to emphasize the fact that we cannot, even though we think there may be divisions in our church, not just simply our church, but in the church in general, there are many, many different people, different ways of looking at life, different beliefs, and so forth. But Tom basically said, this is what God wants. The church is supposed to be very different. And it's in the coming together of our different people and different values and different backgrounds and different cultures, and all of that differentness is the Spirit of God is made manifest in the unity that we can have. Unity in the Spirit, not uniformity of action and belief and so forth. And this early church, especially in Ephesians, was made up of there was such a tension between Jew and Gentile that we cannot even begin to understand the magnitude of the tension between these two cultures. And the Jews thought they had it all figured out, and God was for the Jews, and it was difficult for them to understand how God was also for the Gentile people. And that tension that existed between them, and yet through all of that, as he broke open this passage from Ephesians, he talked about it's the bond of peace. And he said the Greek word there is a chain. And he said, we in the church are all different people, but we're all held together with the bond of the Spirit of God's love and peace. And then he used the phrase, the church is a mess. It's a messy place. And sometimes we think the church should be nice and smooth and all be singing kumbaya and all that kind of thing. But he said basically we should understand that God is glorified in the fact that we can be different people and find unity even without uniformity. And so that came through to me in a very, very strong way, and I appreciate that. So yes, this was a good convention, positive feeling, one of hope, one of anticipation. We may not be as large as we used to be, but there is hope, and there is that anticipation with the Spirit's help. We can have an important voice in our world today. The church is a mess. Thanks be to God. And in that mess, we can glorify God as we come together in unity. May it be so.
I'm going to close this time out of sharing with prayer and then invite the worship team forward to lead us in response song. Almighty God, we are so grateful for the opportunity that we had to be in Kansas City this week and to experience worship and experience your Spirit in a way different than we do in our regular lives. God, as we share this with the congregation, I pray that you sparked something in their hearts and minds. Maybe they can see, where is God moving in me today? And Lord, as we go forward from what we experienced into our regular lives, continue to spark that fire in our hearts. Lord, we are grateful for a church that is not all the same. And we are grateful for this church with people that are not all the same. And in our mess, God, we are beautiful because you created us beautiful. Lord, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us light and life. And it's in his name we pray all these things. Amen. I invite you to stand and invite the worship team forward to lead us in a song of response.